Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
I want to go ahead and get right into God's Word here. I want to just kind of pick up and remind you, though, I shared with you a few weeks ago how at the end of 2024, going into a new year, I felt like the Lord was impressing on me to preach a series of messages that I am calling Anchored. And it's amazing how the Lord just kind of affirms those things that you hear from Him, how He affirms to me that, son, thank you for listening to me and following my voice and being led by me. I had some more affirmation and confirmation this morning from a brother here in the church. But we need to make sure that we're anchored in biblical truth for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, we don't really know what we'll walk into when we go into a new year. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. There's going to be trials, there's going to be triumphs, there's going to be storms, and when we face these storms in our life, we need to be anchored in biblical truth. We also, probably more so, I would say, as we see the Word of God in our culture today being twisted and even attacked, we need to make sure that we're anchored spiritually so we don't get swayed. As Christians, and we need to make sure we're anchored in the Word of God, because you see what happens is, and I've seen it before, I've even encountered it in my own life, that when you're not anchored spiritually, that eventually you will begin to slowly drift away from the Lord. One of the great illustrations that the Lord has always showed me, it's almost like when you go to the beach and you go out into the water and you look back to the sand there at the shore, and you pick you out a spot there where you can kind of know where your chair or umbrella is, and then you get out there playing around, and then the next few minutes you look up and the chair and umbrella is down there and you've drifted. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, that's how it is spiritually. If we get our eyes off of the Lord and we begin to spiritually, we begin to drift away slowly. And my prayer is that we would not drift away from the Lord, but we would actually draw near to the Lord. The Bible says, draw near to the Lord, and He will draw near to you. That's good news for us this morning. We talked about a few weeks ago, how do we stay anchored spiritually? Well, you stay anchored spiritually first, I share with you, by being in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus has to be your anchor. He has to be your anchor, and He is your anchor because He is our salvation. There's no other way you can be saved but only through Jesus Christ. We're anchored in Him because of salvation. He's the one that sets us free from the power of sin, the penalty of sin. He's the one that keeps us stable in the storms of life. Aren't you thankful for that? That the storms you go through, Jesus holds you stable. And then we also talked about how we need to make sure that we are anchored in God's Word, the Bible. That it is, listen to me, church, please. It is a priority that for every follower of Christ that we make sure that we spend time in the Word so the Word can get in us. We need to be in the Word, in the Bible, so the Bible can get in us. And so we need to make sure that we have an appointment with the Lord every day where we're praying and reading the Word in a systematic way, that you're diving deeper into the Scriptures and you're growing yourself spiritually. Last Sunday, Pastor John did an excellent job on preaching about how we need to be anchored in the Great Commission, that we need to be making disciples. And we saw that last night through the movie The Forge here, how we need to prioritize God's command over our life to make disciples. Well, today, I want to take the next few minutes with the Lord's help to talk to you about how we need to make sure that we are anchored in the Holy Spirit. How we are anchored in the Holy Spirit. Now, just bear with me here for a few minutes this morning, and you pray for me too as I preach this message to you. The staff and I have been going through a book. I've read it several times, but the Lord put it on my heart for all of us to go through it during the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Some of you may have read this book. It's called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Pastor Jim Cimbala from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church in New York City. If you've never read that book, you need to get it sometime and read it. Because in that book, Pastor Cimbala is reminding us how we need fresh wind and a fresh fire from the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, but also move in our churches. And that book is so encouraging. It reminds me when he shares things in this book of a quote that I heard many, many years ago from a great prince of a preacher from the past by the name of Charles Spurgeon. Listen to what he said. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. It's like being ships without the wind, branches without the sap, coal without the fire, we are useless. In other words, without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need that fresh wind and we need that fresh fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. We need that fresh wind and fresh fire of the Holy Spirit moving in our churches. Listen to me. We don't need any more man-made ideas. We don't need any more methods. We don't need any more machinery. What we need is the Holy Spirit to move in our services, in our lives. Come on. Now, I know for some of you, this may be a challenge, but just bear with me. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. In fact, the Bible teaches us who the Holy Spirit is. Just a real kind of quick theology nugget here. If you ever wanted to know more, you need to sign up for my Connections class. But let me just tell you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Trinity, a word not found in the Bible, but used to describe the Godhead that we know, that the God that we worship, the God who we serve, is one God made up in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all being equal. And we can't really comprehend that, and we shouldn't be able to comprehend it, because who are we to figure out God? His ways are not our ways. In fact, his math is different than our math, because in God's math, 1 = 3 and 3 = 1. All we have to do is just trust him. But the Holy Spirit in the Bible is referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. In the King James Version, you would see in that translation, he's called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not an idea. He's not some kind of doctrine. The Holy Spirit is not goosebumps during a song or a sermon. The Holy Spirit is a person who is the third person of the Godhead, and more than ever, we need to be anchored in him. Amen. We need to be anchored in him. The Bible tells us a lot about the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you start reading your Bible now, I would just encourage you to kind of take note anywhere you see the Spirit of the Lord or the Spirit of God or the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit. Just begin to highlight it, and you'll see the Holy Spirit working all through Scripture. But the Bible tells us many things that the Holy Spirit does. Now, I don't have time to refer to every thing that he does. I don't have time to share with you every scripture, but what I'm about to tell you right now, I could pull from scripture in the Bible. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us. He guides us. He teaches us. He speaks to us. He reveals truth to us. He glorifies Jesus. He comforts us. He convicts us. He calls us. He fills us. He strengthens us. He prays for us. He brings freedom to us. He transforms us. He lives in us. He renews us. He produces fruit in us. He gives spiritual gifts to us. He seals us. He sanctifies us. He empowers us. He unites us. And I could go on and on and on what the Holy Spirit can do. Many things and many reasons why we need to be anchored in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know, like I said, this could be a challenge to some of us in this room here. I realize there's all different backgrounds that come to this church. Some of you may be challenged by what I'm preaching to you today about the Holy Spirit because of maybe what you were taught growing up, or maybe like me, what you were not taught, because I didn't really have any kind of church background, and that can kind of hinder us, but we need to know what the Bible says. So I want you just to bear with me here and just lean into this truth about the Holy Spirit, and let's just look at some things in the Word of God. Now, when we think about the Holy Spirit and who He is and what He does, a lot of times our mind goes right on into the New Testament. In the book of Acts, we see the day of Pentecost. We see the Holy Spirit moving there in different ways. But you need to know that the Holy Spirit was working way before Pentecost. We find actually that the Holy Spirit was actually at work and active in the Old Testament. You can write this down. I think I put it on the screen, but this would be a good little bullet point for you to write down, that the Holy Spirit was at work in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was at work in creation. He was at work in creation. In fact, you can turn in the very first chapter of Genesis and you'll find the Holy Spirit working in verse 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We see right there in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is working even in creation. The Holy Spirit is working in the beginning. What is He doing? He's moving. He's moving. Can I tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit, He's moving. And He ought to be moving in your life. Amen. When we're coming in here to worship and gather and praise, He ought to be moving in your life. When you're out at work or wherever you are, He ought to be moving wherever you are, because the Holy Spirit is all, He's moving, and He should be moving in your life. The Holy Spirit was at work in creation, but the Holy Spirit was also at work and active in the Old Testament through certain people for certain purposes. You can see there in the Bible, you can think about this, the Holy Spirit being at work in certain people. He would come upon them, and then we could see in the Old Testament He would come and kind of go. You can read about Gideon and Judges. It says in Judges 6:34 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, for Gideon to use a small army to defeat a large army that were enemies to Israel. During that time, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. During that time, you can read about David in 1 Samuel 16:13, where Samuel came to David in front of his family. David, the one that slayed the giant Goliath. David, the one that went on to be the greatest king of Israel. And Samuel went there, and he poured oil over David and anointed him. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Here's what I want you to see. The Holy Spirit was active even in the Old Testament. But if you look at it, it seems like, and I don't know if you want to make a big deal out of it or not, but it just seems like in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon certain people. He would come and then He would go. He would come and then He would go. He would come so some kind of God purpose could be fulfilled, and then He would go. Even in the Old Testament. You see prophecies telling us of a day, though, that would come referring to the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit would come this time to live in and to dwell in all of God's people. Not just charismatic, not just Pentecostal, but if you're a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit come to live and dwell in you. We see that in the Old Testament. Ezekiel the prophet, the Lord spoke to him and said to him, there's going to be a day coming, and he says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Lord spoke to the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, and he said to Joel, there's coming a day when I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And listen, those Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. We read in Acts chapter 2 that on the day of Pentecost, it says when it came, they were all together, they being followers of Christ. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I say, Lord, do it again. Hallelujah. You know, on that day, that those people that were there in the upper room, they were filled with the Spirit of God. He came to dwell, empower them, and there they are receiving the Holy Spirit, and the people there around thought they were drunk, and Peter come out of that upper room, and he declared to them, and he took them all the way back to the Old Testament prophet Joel, and just what I read to you, he declared to them that in these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And that's exactly what had happened. Jesus even spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit. John 16:7, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and listen to what he says. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus was saying to them that it's getting ready to be different. He says it's getting ready to be different. Instead of the Holy Spirit coming and going, he is going to come now to live in you. The Holy Spirit is going to come to live in you and have fellowship with you. Jesus said in John 14:7, he said, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He says, listen, I'm going away, and it's to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit, and when he comes, he's going to live in you and he's going to be in you. That means wherever you go, whatever you're doing, the Holy Spirit is in you. Wherever you're walking, whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying, the Holy Spirit is in you. He lives in you. He will be in you no matter where you go. Now, you can quench him and you can grieve him, but he lives in you and he is with you, will be in you. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 13:14 says. And by the way, here's a picture of the Trinity. This is what Paul said. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He says, let the fellowship and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want you to see this. In the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in us, and he comes to have fellowship. That word fellowship, it means like communion, but it also means partnership. He's come to be your partner. He's come to have communion with you. He's come to have a relationship with you. And the reason why he's come to live in you and be in you and to fellowship with you is so he can work in you and work through you so you can reflect Jesus to a lost and dark world. It's not so you can get around and jump and shout and all that. It's so you can go out into the world and you can reflect Jesus. I'm all for shouting, and I'm all for having a good time, and we need to do more of it. I heard somebody say it's easier to put out a wildfire than raise a dead corpse. Which one of you? I'm not looking up. But we need to listen. We need to make sure that we are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I know, listen, I get it. It is a challenge to think in my mind that the Holy Spirit is living in me. It's hard to wrap my mind around that the Holy Spirit seeks fellowship with me. And I wonder how many Christians wake up every day and even have that thought in their mind that, you know what, today I can be in partnership. I can be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Some of us are just okay. You know what? I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and that's really all I care about and that's really all I want. But I want to tell you this morning and declare to you that God has more. He has more. I didn't know anything about being filled with the Holy Spirit and having fellowship with the Holy Spirit until I started coming to this church and God began to work on me, and I realized, you know what? It's great, and it is great. I am saved, and God has set me free from the power of sin and the way it was working in my life, and there's a sanctifying work that's going on in me now, but I knew that there was something more, and I wanted more of the Lord. I wanted more of His presence in my life. What I was seeking was fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would realize that there's more than just being saved. There's more than just this life that you're living here now. That there is a fellowship that you can have with the Holy Spirit. There's a partnership that you can have with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to give you just... I could stand up here all day long for the rest of this year and give you a reason why you need to be anchored in the Holy Spirit. But let me just back up to that list and let me give you three reasons why we need to be anchored in the Holy Spirit. Number one, if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Listen, right before Jesus was to ascend, listen, He had died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected from the dead. And then He makes these appearances to these different ones. And then right before He ascends back up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, He makes this statement to His disciples. And He says to them that they're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I want you to think about that. Think about who He's talking to. He's talking to His followers. They have been walking with Him and talking with Him for over 3 years, almost like 3.5 years. They had meals with Jesus. They had fellowship with Jesus. They could ask Him questions. They could hug Him. They could touch Him. He was right there in their presence. What more could you want? But then look at their life. They are walking with Jesus. They're talking with Jesus. They're touching Jesus. He's there with them. But when you look at their life, you see weak people. You see fearful men. You see some that are doubters and deniers and prideful. But then notice what happens when they finally receive the Holy Spirit. Notice the change that happens when the Holy Spirit comes to live in them and to fill them and to have fellowship with them. What happens? The Holy Spirit empowered them to be bold for Christ. The Holy Spirit empowered them to have courage for Christ. The Holy Spirit empowered them with supernatural giftings. The Holy Spirit empowered them to perform miracles. And I could go all over and keep going. Listen, here's how it comes down to this right here. If you want to live a life with an anointing and with authority and with power, you need to be anchored in the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk around with an anointing on your life, with authority in your life, and with the power of God in your life, you must be anchored in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you shall receive power. Amen. Amen. And listen, being empowered by the Holy Spirit happens as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control. I heard somebody say it like this one time. It's not by us having more of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit having more of us. We need to release control over to Him. I've seen people pray, I want more of you, Holy Spirit. I know what they're saying. I know what they're trying to pray for. But really what we should be praying is, Holy Spirit, have more of me. I yield myself to you. Now, some of you, this is strange. And you don't like strange. And because you don't like strange, or because this is something you won't talk growing up, then it could be, I'm just saying, it could be that you might be missing out on receiving power. And the reason why you've missed out on receiving this power by the Holy Spirit is because your mind is there and trusting in self. There's self-sufficiency. There's your pride. There's this refusal to give control over to the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you're missing out on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And now the result is, tell me, you don't have to tell me, I see it every day. Because of that, we see Christians walking around defeated and weak and fearful. And they're missing out on what God is wanting to do in their life. They're missing out on the anointing of God, the authority of God, and the power of God as the Holy Spirit wants to work in their life. Why? Because they're not anchored in the Holy Spirit. You tell me, listen, you look at the power of the Holy Spirit at work in the early believers in the early church in the book of Acts, and you want to see some people that were anchored in the Holy Spirit. They're going around and they're preaching the gospel with boldness. They're going around and they're healing the sick. They're going around and they're experiencing manifestations of the power of God. Hey, they're going around and rejoicing and in suffering. You tell me how many Christians you see like that today. How many Christians you see walking around today and they're just always boldly proclaiming the gospel? How many you see walking around and they're vessels and instruments that miracles are happening through as they lay hands on people and pray for the sick? Or we see manifestations of the giftings of the Holy Spirit at work. How many do you see like that today, rejoicing in their suffering? Manifestations of the power of God. I'm just telling you this morning, I have some good news for you, that we can be anchored in the Holy Spirit and we can have access to the same power to be able to win the lost, to be able to be vessels for miracles and serve Christ, even if it means giving our life. Come on. We have access to that power. Preacher, you have gone off the deep end today. That sounds so strange. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. We can receive this power. We can be empowered by the Holy Spirit as we anchor ourselves in Him. And friend, listen, we need His power. We need His power. I don't want to walk around defeated. I want to walk with an anointing on my life. I want to walk with authority where there will be a weight to my words. I want to walk in a way that there's power and manifestations of that power at work in my life. And I'm not trying to sound some super spiritual, but that's what I desire because God tells me it's available. We have access to it. Well, Pastor Jimmy, come on, son. that would probably be a little bit out of my, what I believe. And you know what? I go back to what I said today. Don't take this wrong. I don't care what you believe. I care what the Bible says. And the Bible says we have access to this power. There's a lot of people that are what they call cessationists. They believe that everything stopped after the book of Acts, like it don't happen anymore. I beg to differ. I still believe people are being saved, people being healed, people being delivered. I still believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation today. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need that. Lord, Holy Spirit, touch that clock. The Holy Spirit will empower you, but the Holy Spirit also guides us. Romans 8:14 says, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Think about this. The Holy Spirit wants to guide your life. Some of you are just seeking direction and guidance, and you wonder what to do or how to do it. I'm just here to tell you this morning, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you. Think about Peter's life. You remember when Peter went up on that rooftop to pray and God lowered down a sheet of these animals, and they were unclean animals to the Jew, but what God was communicating with him was, you know what, I'm getting ready to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And while he's on the rooftop, God had already been working in a man named Cornelius's house, and he sent three men to go get Peter and bring him back to his house. And while Peter's on the rooftop thinking about the vision, as the Bible says, it says that the Holy Spirit said to him, you don't hesitate, you go with them because I have sent them to you. The Holy Spirit was giving guidance to Peter. You think about Paul's life when he was on missionary trips. In fact, the Lord kept him from going to certain places. You can read in Acts 16 where it says that they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. I don't know why the Holy Spirit did that. Maybe he was protecting Paul. Maybe he was protecting them from something. Or maybe there was somebody else that needed to hear the gospel first. And then it says that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Here's what I'm trying to say. The Holy Spirit will guide you. The Holy Spirit will guide your life. The Holy Spirit, now that he lives in you and is in you, he is a built-in GPS system. Hallelujah. He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you where to go, where not to go. He'll tell you what to say and not what to say. He'll lead you. Don't do that. Do this. The Holy Spirit will guide you into that. How many of you have ever done opposite of what he was saying and you felt that conviction come on you? Oh, I guess it's just me. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say and what to do and how to do it and when to do it. Let me give you a perfect example of this, because just about 2 months ago, I was invited by Tommy Sanders, who had been reelected as one of our Wayne County School Board members. And by the way, Tommy is doing a fantastic job for our community, and we give God praise for a godly man on that board. And we praise the Lord for that. And Tommy invited me to come to the board meeting. They were going to have a ceremony there, and my job was to go there, and I was to take my Bible in, and I was going to hold it there, and they were going to just do a ceremony with Tommy swearing him in as the board member. And so I was looking forward to that. It was an honor to do that for Tommy and Angie. But on the way to Goldsboro that afternoon, right there where you hit the railroad tracks where the trains sometimes will stop you. Everybody know where I'm talking about. And I got right there, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And started speaking to me about what I was getting ready to encounter when I would go in to that ceremony for the board there in Goldsboro. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me and giving me some words that I would be able to declare over the school board and even over the superintendent there in Goldsboro at the place there, I think it was on Royal Avenue. And I got there. I went in. They had a nice ceremony set up. I did my part. It looked like I was going to go in, just hold the Bible there, encourage Tommy, and then it was going to be over with. They had a little reception that lasted about maybe 10 minutes, and then they were actually going into an official board meeting. And I'm thinking, well, the Holy Spirit, I felt like, was speaking to me on the way here, but it don't seem like there's going to be an opportunity to be able to share. So maybe it was just me. And then all of a sudden, when the ceremony is about to end, Tommy says to everybody in the room, and there was a crowd in there, let's go pray. Let's go pray. Hello, we're not at Mount Olive First PH Church. We're at a board meeting for the Wayne County School Board. And Tommy says, let's go pray. So they take all those people that were there, and we go into this back room there, which was a huge room to me. And I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. Here we go. You know what I kind of equate this feeling to? Because we walked in that back room there, and they're all gathered around the superintendent, the school board members, and many, many other people that were there for the ceremony and for the board meeting. And Tommy says, Pastor Jeff's going to lead us in prayer. And I'm thinking, but I got something I need to say. And I felt like, I don't know if y'all have ever been on one of these things or not before, but my boys, a couple of years ago, have y'all ever been on one of those water slides that go straight down? But you get in the capsule first, and you lay in there, and there's a platform there, and you're just kind of there, and then the bottom falls out, and then you're gone. That's kind of how I felt right there in that board meeting. The bottom's getting ready to fall out. But when he said, I want you to pray, I said, I'm honored to pray, but I feel like God's given me a word to speak to you all. And God, you know the Bible says that when you don't really know what to say, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. I didn't have no notes. I didn't have my Bible right there with me where I could pull up. But God had put a word in me to speak over the superintendent and to speak over the board. And I obeyed. I gave it to him. And we prayed. And we had a powerful time right there at the Wayne County School Board. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. My point is the Holy Spirit will guide you. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll direct. I thought there was going to be an opportunity, but the Holy Spirit opened up the door, and he guided me right in to be able to share that word. He will guide you. You know what? He is a perfect guide that will guard you. He has all the information that he needs to keep you on God's track for your life. You don't need to be worried about that. All you need to do is trust him to guide you. He is the perfect guide that will keep you in the perfect will of God so you can trust him. And that's why you need to be anchored in the Holy Spirit. And I'm almost done. I tell you what, to even make them think we're almost done, Pastor Kevin, you can come. My last point. This message is kind of hard for me to preach to you. But I want you to receive it. I want you to get it. Because I don't want you to miss out on what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. I want to tell you, he wants to empower you, he wants to guide you, and he wants to help you. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14:16. He says to the disciples, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. In other words, someone just like me. He's going to give you someone just like me, another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. That word helper there is a word Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. It's actually a Greek word that means paraclete. Paraclete is a Greek word. It's another helper, one that will come alongside to help, one that will come to comfort, one that will come to encourage, one that will come to fight for you. The Greek word paraclete is actually an ancient word that they used in military terms, because when the Greek soldiers went into battle, they would go in battle in pairs. So when the enemy came to attack them, they would be together, and what they would do, hey, would stand up a minute. Those Greek soldiers would go into battle together, and they would fight. You stand right here, just stand just like that right there. And they would back to back like this right here. Back to back. Now turn, just keep going, and they would fight their battles like this right here. That's how the Greek soldiers would fight. And praise God, Lord help the man. Praise God, we have a battle partner. We have somebody that has your back. He's got your back. He's the paraclete. He backs right up to us, and he lives in us. He dwells in us. He feels us. We have fellowship with him, and he's our battle partner, and he helps us. No matter what I'm going through, he's there with me. He's guarding me. He's guiding me. He's empowering me. And I've got my life anchored in him. Because I know when I anchor in him, he's fighting for me. He's helping me through every difficult moment. He's fighting for me through every spiritual battle. He's helping me through every struggle and stress in my life. I know some of you, and I'm not minimizing anything that you're going through and what you do with your work, but can I tell you right now, I would dare never to try to pastor this church without the help of the Holy Spirit. There is no way. But he will help you through the stress, the decisions, whatever you have in your life that you're going through. Listen, you know what he does? He gives you the strength to endure to the very end. He gives you the grace that will be sufficient for your life. He gives you mercies every day. He comes through and he's an anchor for your soul during the storms of your life. When you find yourself doubting because of what you're walking through, he reminds you of the promises of God. When you feel turmoil in your life and stress, he's the one that comes and he produces peace in your life. He produces joy in your life, gentleness in your life, goodness in your life, patience in your life. Yes, he will lead you to salvation as he convicts us of the sin in our life. And how we need the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. He don't want to harm you. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. But it all starts with having an encounter with him, receiving him into your life, yielding yourself more to him, surrendering yourself more to him. How many of you could use some peace this morning? Yes. How many of you could use some power this morning in your life? I am about fed up. Yeah. I'm talking to the devil and talking to Jeff. I'm about fed up walking around weak and feeling defeated when God's given me access to power to be able to have an anointing and have authority over my life to carry out the assignment God's called me to do. What am I doing? Missing out on the power that God has available to me. Well, I need guidance. How many of you need guidance this morning? Come on. How many of you need some guidance this morning? I don't know what to do. What are we going to do next, Pastor? I have no clue. I don't know. We're just trusting to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. Well, I need help. Well, he's here to help you. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand, please, very reverently? I'm not asking anybody to leave. Please, don't grab your pocketbook and your jacket, your toboggan and gloves. In fact, I give the ushers permission and lock the door. Lock the door. Because we just rush out instead of rushing in. And we need to rush into the Lord this morning, to the Holy Spirit, and just ask for a filling of the Holy Spirit in our life. Listen, let me just say, how many of you desire to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I mean, you desire to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Here's what I ask you to do, just real quickly. You guys can sing us a song, but it's all about coming and giving him permission to have more of you, yielding yourself. I'm not asking you to come to the altar and say, I want more of you, Holy Spirit. No, I want you to come and say, I'm giving more of myself, God, to you. I'm giving more of myself to you right now. Just come. You want fellowship. You want fellowship. You want fellowship. You want partnership. You want this battle partner. You want him to empower you. Come on, just find you a place. If you need to stand, stand. If you want to kneel, kneel. Just come and find you a place around the altar. Go ahead, brother.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord.
Yes, come on, make a fresh surrender right now.
Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, are welcome here.
Yes.
Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to
Church, pray with me. Father, we thank you for the promise that you declared that we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We know you live in us and will be with us forever. So God, we just pray that we'll be in a work of empowerment right now. God, in the life of every follower of Christ right here. God, we just declare a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to you right here in this moment. Can you declare that today? I surrender. I give control to you, Holy Spirit. I desire fellowship with you, partnership with you, so you can empower me, so you can guide me, so you can help me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're my battle partner. I thank you that you're fighting for me, that you're filling me. I thank you that you are fellowshipping with me. And Lord, I just receive that right now in my life. I receive you, Holy Spirit, a fresh outpouring right here, right now. Have more of me. Have more of me. Have more of me. Have more of me. Please, Holy Spirit, have more of me. Do it in this church. Have this church. Have every brother, every sister, take control of our lives. Please, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Come. Direct us. Help us. Give us strength to endure, Lord. Give us strength to rejoice even in the suffering. Give us direction for our life. Every decision we make, God, we pray your Holy Spirit would be our guide. Can you make this your prayer? I yield myself right now. I yield myself to you, Holy Spirit. I surrender all to you right now, Holy Spirit. I humble myself right now, even if it sounds strange and even if it don't even make sense to me and what I grew up believing or not believing. Your Bible says, the Bible, the Word of God says, that you have sent the Holy Spirit to live in me, to move in me. So I just surrender all to you right now. I surrender my life to you.